Hi, besties, and welcome to Semi-Qualified Queens,
a show where we talk about all things drag because we're semi-qualified.
I'm Juicebox.
And I'm Cynthia Kiss.
And welcome to Semi-Qualified Queens. And we are back with another episode of Canada's Drag Race Season 4. But just like every other week, before we get to that, how are you?
Award-winning.
I forgot to say it.
That's right. We're the best podcast ever.
We are an award-winning podcast. Big shout out to the Canadian Podcast Awards.
Huge shout out. Huge shout out. We actually were in a couple categories. So I felt like the odds were in our favor. It was like, okay, like I think we were nominated for like 5 categories.
Yeah.
So, and then I thought the Canadian Podcast Awards had already happened and that we didn't win any of them. So I was privately a little bummed. I was like, oh man, I really thought we like would have got something.
Yeah.
But I was wrong. They were on the 28th, 29th. The live stream, I can't quite remember, but we found out we won Outstanding Television and Film Series.
Fab.
Bam, bam, bam. And I'm in the presence of a 2-time Canadian Podcast Award winner because Juice took 2 home. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Yeah, I was able to leave with 2 Canadian Podcast Awards. So I'm 1 for Outstanding Film and Television for Semi-Qualified Queens, and me and Jackson have won Best Debut Podcast with It's Dangerous to Go Alone, our video game podcast.
So proud of y'all. I messaged him on Instagram and I was like, let's go for beers to celebrate. And he was like, I don't drink. And I was like, let's have Shirley Temples instead.
I know he actually spent New Year's with me and Mr. Box. And Mr. Box was just like, I'm going to get a bottle of wine for me and Jackson. And I went, oh, babe, Jackson doesn't drink. And he went, so I'm going to get a bottle of wine for myself.
Oh, I saw the content. I saw that Jackson was at your place.
There was lots of Jackson content. Yes, my baby. I just love that boy. He is just so sweet and handsome, but also sweet.
And so does the podcast community because, honey, your debut, it was awarded.
It's very exciting. But big shout out to the Sonar Network for taking a chance on Semi-Qualified Queens and allowing us to, you know, have a bigger platform to get us our little podcast awards. And thank you so much for everybody at the Canadian Podcast Awards, too. And thank you mostly to the SQ Cuties for listening. We appreciate you.
SQ Cuties, we love you. And if you, you know, you want to keep that love going, we're going on the road. So if you want to check out Semi-Qualified Queens live, baby, unedited, unfiltered, raw, if you can believe it, it gets even more raw than this podcast. You should check out our link tree because we are going to 4 cities in the western part of Canada in January. We're heading to Victoria, Vancouver, Edmonton, Calgary. So if you live near those cities, come on down because we want to see you.
And speaking of raw, our tour is sponsored by Freddy. So if you are a sexually active adult, you should be taking PrEP. If you are a sexually active adult and you are having sex with more than one person, PrEP is going to protect you from HIV and AIDS. It is 1 pill a day, easy peasy lemon squeezy. And the people at Freddy make it so incredibly easy for you to get hooked up with information about PrEP and to get prescriptions mailed right to your door. So try Freddy today.
Fabulous. All right.
Fabulous.
Aside from awards, national tours, I guess we can fit in season 4 of Canada's Drag Race.
I guess. If we must.
If we've gotta. Let's dive in. Okay. Bye-bye, Kiki Ko.
Yeah.
More like Kiki Go. Kiki gone. We're down to our top 5. Whoa. This season is just like flown by. I feel like time does truly fly when you're having fun.
Yeah, there are some seasons where you're like, I feel like this will absolutely never end. And it feels like this season, it's almost just like you blinked and we're almost at the finale.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been an entertaining ride. I've really enjoyed this season.
Do we agree with Denim when she was saying she's the wild card of the season?
No, I feel like she's a front runner.
That's what I thought, too. I was like, you've been so consistently on your game that to like Melinda's the wild card. Like, she's almost... Yeah. she's been wilding out.
She's been wild. Well, I think because Denim has been in the bottom for 2 weeks and hadn't received a win all season.
There it is.
That kind of made Denim feel like she was maybe the wild card.
Right.
But I think as a viewer watching, Melinda feels more like the wild card because she's so out of place.
Yeah.
Within this group of entertainers and group of mm-hmm. girls, that it feels like Melinda is truthfully more the wild card, but I can see why Denim being there felt more like the wild card.
And that makes sense. I think some of this, we get the privilege of watching a final edited project where they're in it right now. So
they're in the Thunderdome, babe.
Yeah, she hadn't won anything yet. So it's mm-hmm. that's probably what's going through her head. Okay, that makes more sense. Because when she said it, I was like, no, you're not. You've just been our consistent queen. Like mm-hmm. fashionable, funny. Iconic.
Yeah, adorable, hilarious.
Yes.
I don't get it.
Yes. Anyway,
but we're Denim fans, you know? Big fans.
Oh, I love Denim.
I love Denim.
I love acid wash Denim. I love raw Denim.
I love a light Denim.
I love girl, give me a light Denim set.
Oh, I love a light Denim.
A cute little jacket.
If there's a stretch to it for my thighs.
I was actually thinking about you the other day. You know my partner works for Doer Denim, which is an iconically stretchy denim brand. When you're in Vancouver, we are taking you to the Kitsilano shop, and we are getting you fitted for a pair of jeans, and we'll get them perfect for you. Because I think you're going to love them. Actually, I think you're like the core demo.
How much are they?
$0, because we know the designer.
Period!
I meant to do it for the holidays, but then I didn't want to guess your size. And I know you're working on your fitness, so I was like, you better just like get into a pair and tell me what fits.
You have no idea when it comes to these luscious thighs. Denim is just so much. But going back to this, we mm-hmm. love Denim.
We do love the contestant on season 4, Denim. We do. Yes. We do.
So we move on. The girls kind of go into this big like love fest of, you know, so being so proud of being able to make it this far and all this stuff. And it's really nice to watch. But really, we kind of just move on to the next day mm-hmm. pretty quickly. And I feel like we needed to, because this episode, I want to kind of preface this, is the best episode I have ever watched of Canada's Drag Race ever.
I'm going to hot take. Because I know we were talking about this. I'm not going to back you on best episode.
Okay.
But what I will give you is it's the most emotionally riveting. Like it made me feel things.
I love to feel. And this episode had me blubbering.
Yes. Like that is in this episode. That is in this episode. Oh. There was not a dry eye in that workroom. It was becoming a kiddie pool.
If you watched this and didn't have an emotional reaction, psychopath. Psychopathic. How could you not? We'll get there.
Okay, because we're already precursing. Brad, he walks into the workroom and the queens are reunited. Tell me, wait, what do you want to say?
Brad is in a chunky heel.
A chunky motherfucking heel.
And a chunky heel.
It never made it to the edit, but Brad was constantly up my ass about my chunky heels on season 2. And look who is wearing a chunky shoe, none other than Mr. Goreski.
Sadiqa's ahead of her time.
Ahead of my time.
So Bradley comes in and kind of prefaces what's going on and being like, he's sort of hinting, and you could tell the girls know that there's something happening, and you can see all the eyes and the shaking, and like you could tell that Brad's just like milking it a little bit. And then they start with the families coming in, and mm-hmm. I just lose it.
It's so adorable. They've just been so isolated away from their family, any contact with them. You know, if you travel, you can at least text your loved ones. You can at least say hi, how you doing? But in this experience on Drag Race, they really isolate you to make the show. So to watch a fiance of yours walk through the door, you would be beside yourself. So first we have Neera's fiance, Jacob, walk into the workroom, who I'm obsessed with. He is as kind as he is sexy, which is such a lethal combo. You never see it. With someone like those kind of arms, they're typically like, I don't know, toxic masculine, and Jacob is so far from that.
When he flexed,
I know.
And I I couldn't make words. When he went, she definitely didn't pick me for my personality and did these huge flex, and his tricep was just like a poof under him. I was like, oh my God, I want to look like that.
All that muscle, and my favorite feature of his is still his eyes. His beautiful eyes.
Beautiful eyes. Beautiful eyes. Absolutely gorgeous. So Neera does her Kim Kardashian cry face. Falls her eyes out.
Yes.
Envelops his entire tiny little white guy lips with her gigantic big lips. But it was really beautiful. Like, it was so nice to watch them kind of connect. And then Venus's mother walks in, Joanna.
Joanne, sorry. I got excited. Sorry. I had an A instead of an E.
Joanne. Oh, sorry. Yeah, it says Joanna there. So Joanne walks in. Mm-hmm. Who is, can I say, she's so cunt.
Oh, yeah. Confident.
Oh, my God.
The red hair. The swagger. I loved
it. You can see where Venus comes from.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
They have a really cool character.
Beautiful reunion and stuff. But my absolute favorite was when Aurora's best friend Trinity walks in, and not only does Aurora just have a massive reaction to it, but then Trinity hands her a letter from her parents.
Mm-hmm.
And as someone who's known Aurora for a long time, we've all kind of known in Toronto the sort of relationship she's had with her parents has been a rocky one.
Yeah.
So to see her like get a note from her parents and like to see that reaction where you could tell that that was like, she was not expecting that. Ooh, I almost had to pause it.
I know.
I was losing my mind.
Like the dirty cries, the tears that were coming out of everyone's faces this whole portion of the episode, it was just like, you can just so tell how tired and you know, fragile they all are at this point in the competition, that to see a familiar face, it's just like,
did you see Melinda next to while Aurora's reading the letter,
which that got beautiful. Me the most, that got me more than Aurora.
Oh my God.
Just so precious. And the fact that I'm sure Aurora's been waiting to hear that, those words, for so long, I just think it's really powerful. This is one part of Drag Race where I think all families and supporters of the queens really do step it up often and say like, okay, you're doing this once in a lifetime opportunity. Like, tell them how you feel. Like, you know, mm-hmm. it's now or never kind of thing. Like, your son is absolutely slaying the competition. Acknowledge it, you know?
Well, and I think also I think it means even more when it comes from someone who doesn't understand the gravity of the show and gravity mm-hmm. of the opportunity. When they just think like, oh, they're on this TV show that like they're really excited about and they watch sometimes. Mm-hmm. Or they don't understand that this is a life-changing career move, you know? So to even say like, to even write that, like not thinking that there's like something to gain from it. Like, it's mm-hmm. just being like, this is the opportunity for me to tell you how much we love you. Oh my God.
I know. So precious. Nice. Mm-hmm. Next we have Denim's mother, Cheryl, walking through the workroom.
An angel.
So sweet. Just the coolest.
Protect Cheryl at all costs.
Yeah. Nothing can ever happen to Cheryl.
I would defend Cheryl with my life.
Yeah, Cheryl's in my will now. Yeah.
If it came between, if someone had a sword near Cheryl, I would jump in front of it. Like, literally. I loved Cheryl.
Obsessed.
Adorable. And Denim, everybody cried. Like, obviously Denim lost her mind, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then we get Melinda's partner, Scott, walks in. Sweetest little bean.
I know.
The softest little voice. But my favorite part was Melinda goes, who's watching the dog?
Oh, Melinda.
I was like, oh, relatable.
You relatable queen.
So relatable. She's like, oh my God, who's watching the dog?
The dog's name is Vivian Westwood.
Goat. You know, even better, the door opens, it's a dog that walks in. And she's like, ah. If I was there
for the makeover challenge,
if my dog walked in to the makeover challenge, I'd have to be sedated.
I think you would cry more at your dog than your husband.
Yes, that's my child.
Like, I carried 100%.
I carried that dog for 9 months in my stomach.
Okay, but let's dive in to the mini challenge. What did you think of everyone's significant other quickly putting the queens into quick drag?
Genius.
Genius.
Genius. Fun, no stakes, adorable, yeah. Only laughs. It felt like a vacation from the competition.
And an icebreaker too, because it was like, I know some of the queens were still just like, paint fast. You're not used to the pace here, but overall, you're right. What was at stake? But a laugh, you know, and a funny picture.
Jacob's massive, gigantic forearms coming at you with a beauty blender.
Oh, honey. I don't have to imagine it. I'm going to make that happen one day.
I need it. but just like, I just think that'd be funny. Just like.
The fallout on the shadow. There was more eyeshadow under Neera's eye than on her eyelid.
Neera seemed more annoyed at that than anything else. She seemed more annoyed that she had to get painted by Jacob than anything else in the world.
Truly. Oh my God.
Everyone else was like, this is so fun. And Neera was just like, there's fallout all over my face, isn't there? Faster.
I love their dynamic.
I love Evil Lemon so much.
Yeah. Best. Literally the best.
The best.
Who do you think turned it though? Who was your favorite?
Honestly, Cheryl. Cheryl ate.
Yeah,
Cheryl
did.
Ate it up. Cheryl knew the assignment, and mm-hmm. Cheryl said, we're doing it, babe. Mm-hmm. We're doing it. We're doing the damn thing. We're creating a look.
She lacked that cocky confidence, so you weren't sure, and then just denim walks out. I mean, kind of good.
Not like the best denim's ever looked, but it was like...
that would be so shady.
Compared to Venus...
Venus was having trouble standing and posing. Like she was just like, let's wrap this up.
It was the lace lifting on the sides of the ponytail.
Yes. That was all a mess. But really, really fun. And
so fun.
Yeah, kind of a good icebreaker. A way for them to get situated into the workroom. You know, I feel like we don't get a mini every week, but it's fun when we do. Okay.
It was a good one.
Then we find out, because I feel like they did the mini and then Brad explained that they will be doing a makeover.
Yes. Which, I feel like they knew, but they were still.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. I got to make you over.
But we find out in the makeover that they're not only doing a makeup makeover challenge, is that they have to make the entire outfit from scratch.
Which is a tall order.
Oh, it's a very tall order. Yeah.
Did they make their own looks as well?
No. There's no way.
Are we sure? No, yes. They brought those. Got you.
You can't tell me that Aurora was able to make a custom corset.
Black. Hers was nicer. That was one of the pieces. We'll get to it. But I was like, okay, that one looks like really well made. Got you. Yeah. Okay, so they maybe came with like a planned piece for some sort of makeover. And then the twist was you've got to make your family member's piece in the workroom.
Yeah, which they probably found out there. I don't see them telling them that. In the brief, like to come to the show, they probably found out when they got
there.
Yeah,
based on the runway, they definitely didn't know beforehand.
No.
And then, I was looking at my notes because I was going to say Melinda and Scott won the mini, but they didn't really get anything because of that. They just won a little prize. They didn't get an advantage.
No, but they won $2,500 from a restaurant in Toronto.
Ooh, what restaurant?
One I don't like to talk about.
Uh-oh, bad experiences.
They're just...
If you know, you know. IYKYK.
Anyways, so we find out that they're doing this big makeover challenge to them. They kind of get to sewing. Mm-hmm. But Neera would rather be doing something else.
She's just making out with Jacob.
Wouldn't you?
Yes.
Exactly.
It's giving Kourtney Kardashian. She just is always making out with Travis Scott now on Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
It was very much giving that. But if you really looked at her, she was giving him fuck me eyes every 3 seconds. Neera was so horny on that set. She was feral and she kept making like little baby voices because you could tell that he probably loves it.
Yeah.
She was like, yeah, I'm just so stressed. I was like, oh girl, if they didn't escape to a bathroom for 5 minutes, like.
I know. I hope they like allowed something like that.
A conjugal visit. They didn't allow a conjugal visit.
You think? Like the minute they were done, it was like, grab Jacob, send him on a plane.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, there was no way there was a conjugal visit.
Oh, that's sad. But yeah, they're making out. They're making use of it. They're like, let's make good TV. Let's just make out on screen, because otherwise they should have just fully started having sex.
Honestly, if she did, I'd been like, yeah, yeah.
What else haven't we seen on season four?
Go for it, babe. She's just like, she just rips all her clothes off and his at the same time. I feel like if she did that with everyone in the room, I'd be like, just let them do it.
Just let them have sex.
Just let them, you know what, mom? Don't watch.
My other favorite part as the queens are sewing is Venus talking to her mother saying, you've always wanted me to put you in drag. And I've said, no.
Relatable.
And now I don't have a choice. So we're doing it.
That is the most relatable thing I've ever heard in my life. How many times has your mom asked you to do it?
Oh, my? Zero. That's because she just is like, you know my mom. She's not a vibe. She doesn't vibe like that.
No. I don't know. When I met her, she was a vibe.
Now, my father.
Oh.
He would love that. He doesn't say it, but I know he would love
it. He would love. So if there was ever a makeover challenge, it would be dad walking in.
Oh, 100%.
Okay, yeah.
100%.
I'm a trained makeup artist, so my mom constantly makes like snide comments like, yeah, well, we're going to this big event and I have a makeup artist in the family, but I guess I'll do my own.
Oh my goodness.
Every time.
Have you ever given her glam?
Yes, I have given her glam plenty of times, but it has to be every time.
Right, yeah.
But I've never done her in drag because I feel like she would not love that. But
yeah, that's a different type of...
So much makeup.
It's a lot of paint grease.
It's a lot. But yes.
No, it just made me laugh the way Venus clearly doesn't love the makeover challenge aspects. Mm-hmm. It's stressful. I'm not a trained makeup artist. I've only painted a few people with the intention of going onto Canada's Drag Race. I'd never done it before preparing for the show. I was like, let's try this once. I tried it on my partner and I tried it on my brother before I went for the show, and it's kind of hard.
I mean, yeah, if you've never done it. If there's one thing I'm extremely confident in, it's painting somebody else.
I still want you to paint me.
Oh my God, let's paint each other.
I feel like you would do a really great job painting me, and then I wouldn't on you, and you would be annoyed all night, and I would just be like so pretty and happy.
I would be like, you'd be a grumpy fierce-alicious.
Yes. Out of the... You would just have stank face the whole night because you're like, Cynthia did my brows weird.
I'm just very because I'm a makeup artist, so I'm controlled.
Totally. No, so totally.
And I'm a Virgo. It would be a mess for you doing my face, but I'll do you.
I would love that.
Yeah, I'll do you one day. No big deal. Because for you to shave, it's nothing. For me to shave, it's like, ugh. Right. But another thing that happened in the workroom that was just putting me on the edge of tears again, mm-hmm, was Denim and Denim's mom having the most tender, sweet moment. Went full soft aside, where it was like they almost like converted back to like when Denim was like a
childlike
little, like child.
Yes.
And they were like, I've got you, babe, you've got this. I was like, I can't handle this.
Yeah, at that point you're just so stressed that if your sewing machine isn't making a stitch, that can push you over the edge. So to see Denim's face getting really red, the tears are coming, and then mm-hmm, her mom just stop her. And I want my mom to talk to me like that when I'm stressed.
Well, but I think it has something to do with Denim's autism and how her parent is able to see her triggers and see how to maneuver those things and know how to guide them to success, mm-hmm, you know? So to guide Denim into this, into success and to sort of feel out how things work, it's of course a parent's going to be able to do that. So to see Denim's mom do that so successfully and so softly and so beautifully, I literally, so many points of this episode I'd be like,
Denim's mom is in my will, like, I'm not kidding.
I would take a bullet.
Like, she doesn't know me. And it doesn't matter if I'm ever stressed. Love I'm her. Playing that scene again, because it literally made me feel like it. Yeah, it was healing court wounds, childhood wounds.
I'm going to cry again.
Do we want to get to mirror chats?
Yes, because I cried during the mirror chats again.
Oh my God. It's just like
too much.
Everyone's trying not to ruin their makeup by bawling their eyes out. So we got most of the heartfelt conversations when they were just doing their base. Eyeliner hadn't started.
When we got to the part where Jacob and Nira were talking about their relationship. You know when someone is just obsessed with another person? Mm-hmm. Like Jacob is obsessed with Neera. She is the best thing since sliced bread. And you could just see that with like every word and every like little twinkle in his eye. And I lost my mind again.
Mm-hmm. I was and like, for any SQ cuties out there that think it's just for the camera, Jacob is as much of a fan of Neera at all times like that when like there's no camera crew around. The way that he talks about Neera, he is Neera's number one fan. And so it's just so freaking sweet that they got this captured on camera like so that.
So cute. So
supportive. And then we get to the moms describing, you know, the coming out experiences of their children. Venus, you know, Joanne, she's just the coolest customer ever. Obviously kind of having Venus's number clocked, you know, figuring out that they had a little gay kid from a very early on age and having zero qualms with that and just making Venus feel so safe. And it is why we have this tall, statuesque, confident model in this season. Like if it weren't from Venus's mother, Venus wouldn't have become who they are today. So it's just so special. I love that they brought their parents for this.
My favorite was back to my queen, Cheryl, who said to Denim, what was it? It was if you're not being here, your transition meant you not being here or something. That wasn't an option. I forget what the exact words are. I can't say them because if I said them, I will burst into tears. Like, but it was something about like, you just needed to be here. And if I had to fly all over the country to get whatever help I needed from you, then we were doing it. I was like, oh my God, take a bullet for you, Cheryl. And also, I am so in love with sweet baby little Scott. Just the softest little voice. I'm just so in love with Melinda. And they met in a bathhouse. How vintage.
Is that vintage?
That's so vintage. Nobody meets in a bathhouse anymore. They meet on Grindr.
That's true. I thought you meant the act of going to a bathhouse was vintage, but I guess you mean the like the dating aspect of it?
The dating aspects where it's just like they hooked up at a glory hole and then decided to get like dinner after. That's fab. I love that.
One time I tried to go to a bathhouse and I had like a breakdown afterwards. It's not my scene. I like had a full-on panic attack.
Like it was too much.
It was so much. It wasn't even too much. It was so much.
Oh my God.
I was trying to be a good sport for my partner. We were traveling. I was like, yeah, I'll do this. Like I kind of was trying to be game and I couldn't. So I don't think I'd meet my future partner at a bathhouse, but I'm glad Melinda and Scott did.
And quick little shout out to Trinity and Trinity's family for just being a wonderful safe space for Aurora. That was just so nice to hear too.
Truly.
There's just, I want to talk about all of their family so much because I was just so in love with this episode, but we have to move on.
We gotta.
I'm sorry. I was so excited.
I know. Let's head to the main stage.
Oh. How's that?
I don't know if I like that one. Like nothing happened at the end. Okay. Like it's an audio program, so it's like pops up. Like, sorry, SQ Cuties, we're workshopping that. Okay. What did we think of Brooklyn Heights in a Suki Doll original?
Oh, she looked good, bitch.
Really beautiful color.
Yeah, and bronzed, very bronzed her skin.
I think that was part of it. Yes, it was really like, it was a good palette for her.
It was very sun-kissed, yeah.
Very sun-kissed. Cynthia-kissed. But the one thing I felt like the asymmetry, that piece, that was like, what would call it? The bigger side?
The bigger side?
It was pulling a little bit.
The Selena S. Titties clam side?
The clam side.
Yeah.
That was my only thing. I was like, oh, I feel like it's like, shifting a little bit. Am I being crazy?
It's fine to be wrong. It's cool. That is okay. It is fine to be wrong.
There's strength in that.
Yeah, there's strength in being
delusional
and wrong. It's fine. I loved it. No notes.
Beautiful, like so close. Like, just I think it was just like there was one part of it where I thought the V should be the center of her chest, and it didn't look like that was happening.
I guess. I think if that wasn't there, it would be boring.
Oh, you absolutely need it. You absolutely need it.
You want it smaller.
No, I just want it reinforced. Like somehow on the inside, keep it maybe a bit more upright. But I don't know how you do that. So
I don't know.
Glass houses. Don't throw stones.
I know. We also have Tracy in a sweet little black and silver number.
Mm-hmm.
We have Bradley showing some titty today. Mm-hmm. He says he has a suit jacket, but nothing under, just a blazer and a flower. And then we have our fave, who she was there almost all last season, but this is her first time back. Serene Fox.
Serene, your episode count at this point, you're going nose for nose with Stacey McKenzie.
She's trying to knock somebody off that panel and take one for herself.
You know? At this point, look, queen of the season, Tracy Melchior is shaking in her glitter boots.
She said, on my land? On my land? That's my spot.
Love to see her, though.
Loved her. She looked great. And also, when she was in the workroom earlier, if you looked, there was tiny little judges on her lapel.
Which little I thought patches. Was so fun. Little badges.
Little patches of everybody.
So cute.
I wanted to know, I don't know if she had made those or if she had outsourced them, but I thought it was just so cute for her to have that little detail in her outfit. And so beautiful. It's shocking how absolutely stunning Serene is. And I love the look today. Very fun.
Very cool. Mm. Shall we dive into the runway presentation?
Ooh.
Like it just doesn't. It's just not.
It's not. No.
It makes you feel like this is a vaudevillian, like circus podcast or something.
It's not giving. No, okay.
It's really not giving. Category is A Star Is Born.
Okay. Yes. Yes.
Venus and Uranus are first out, and I think they look awesome.
Great. I love Venus in a gown.
Mm-hmm.
I get very excited to see Venus in a gown, and this one was the gown of all gowns. Like it was just billowing red fabric. So I thought Venus looked absolutely striking and did a really good job at being able to showcase her mother in a really beautiful way. Because when you wear something that big and red and long, it could probably overpower the next person, but she really showcased her mom in a beautiful way. And I thought she looked great. And the construction of it was pretty good.
And Joanne, that dark hair on you, very becoming.
Beautiful. Those eyes. Oh my God. And then Serene had a really beautiful moment with Venus. They had a connection about the color of her gown. I'm not really sure what it was, and maybe it's something that we can talk about with Venus later on in the pod. That would be nice. But
literally, this is why we love Serene Fox. She's teaching the children.
Could we get Serene on the pod?
I mean,
could we try?
I feel like we could try.
We got Bradley.
Yeah, but this is Serene Fox. I don't know.
Look, queen of the season.
Maybe. We should, though. Maybe. We absolutely should.
We should. We should. We should. Okay. And then next up, we have Neera and Buffy Nuff.
Mm.
And Neera looked great.
So did Buffy. Babe. You're letting. Okay. I think from the neck up, that mug, she didn't get credit where credit was due. That was a man that she turned into a stamped drag queen. I think the mug got zero praise. She did a good job painting him. She did.
It was okay. I'm not going to say it was bad. It wasn't bad. But when just from a makeup standpoint, Neera's makeup works for Neera because she has a very soft, round face. So she can make it a little bit more severe to kind of like offset that. But because Neera's makeup is so severe and he has a little bit more severe lines to his face, it read very hard. So I would have went a little softer.
Interesting.
A little softer.
I thought the face was great. I thought the hair, the big hair, it complemented their silhouette.
The big hair was smart because of the big arms.
And quite honestly, aside from Denim's look, no one's dresses on that runway were actually that well constructed. So the fact that they went in with a laser beam on Neera was really frustrating. Because I actually think everybody's family member was not wearing couture, aside from Cheryl.
See, I'm gonna. This is where I love when we disagree. This is where I'm gonna disagree.
Let's go.
Because I felt like everyone else's felt a little. They were much simpler but cleaner. When Neera's felt like there was, she threw too much on it that made it look messy, in an attempt to almost cover things up. Do you know what I almost wish she did?
What?
Hear me out. Do you know the Jennifer Lopez very low cut?
Yeah.
I wish she did something like that to cover the arms.
Because
his arms are so big.
Mm-hmm.
But if you concentrated on the core and the middle of the chest, I feel like it would still read very feminine. And then you cover up the arms. Mm-hmm. Reads a little bit more moo-moo. It could make him look a little older. But mm-hmm. I feel like maybe that would have softened everything up a little bit more if she went more out for the covering versus covering all the bulk on the in.
And what I'm coming at is, I think it was on par with the rest. Not great.
Like, they were all bad.
But they were all a little home zone. So it was frustrating to watch them only grow Neera's particular look. It was like,
fair.
Are we all staring at the same looks? Like, I love me some Uranus, but that was one simple gown too, you know?
I think what makes a difference is because Buffy was so bulky inside of hers. So it makes those feel, you know, a little bit more apparent, because her arms are huge, babe. Massive. That's a bodybuilder in there.
I don't know.
Anyways.
Shall we talk about Melinda and Conchita Verga?
So here's where I disagreed with the judges. Because
okay.
I thought that everything about this was cunty.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the floor performance. I liked that Conchita walked out and just sort of like swept by her and they gave like full show. And I thought Conchita's dress was really nice.
So Conchita didn't sell it. She needed to turn forward when so many times she was actually turning her back. She was looking at Melinda a lot, which is super cute because they're in love.
Yeah.
But she needed to play to the cameras. That was the one moment where I was like, oh, cheat forward, because then this will all make sense. But we saw a lot of the back of her head.
But construction-wise of the dress, I thought was pretty good.
Yeah, it was Vivian Westwood inspired.
She was feeling her goats. I'm so happy she said that. I'm so happy we got that shout out from episode four.
Finally. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then what did we think of denim and velvet?
Fab.
My favorite. This was the strongest transformation for me.
It was great. Velvet looked so good.
When Brooke screamed out loud,
Is that denim?
Is that denim? Or is that their mom? Like, literally. That is such huge praise when it comes to the makeover challenge, to the point where you can't tell if that's the contestant you've been looking at all season long or if it's their mother. I was literally just like, what?
Denim slayed it. Like, the construction
she killed
of
it.
The gown, the way she painted her mom. I loved the glittery red lip. And from a makeup standpoint, if you have someone with a really, really small lip and you want to make it look big, but you don't want to make it look overdrawn, put glitter on it.
Writing notes sounds good. I
sounds
won't
good
do that.
Because if you put a deep glitter on it, like a black, a red, a purple, something deep, it's going to flatten all that out and reflect the light and make it look a lot bigger. And that's what denim did with her mom's lips. And it just changed everything and just looked, it was so good.
It was sick.
Mm-hmm. Who else?
Last and least, we have, no, I'm just kidding. They did a good job. But we have Aurora and Supernova Matrix.
I thought it was great.
I thought it was serviceable. I thought it was good.
Well, I guess. I mean, like, it's hard because I feel like Aurora did as much makeup as she normally does on herself than that she would do on Supernova. But I feel like Supernova had such a... How can I say this? Her face suited it so well that it looked more natural than Aurora's.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what I wanted to say. So mm-hmm. it didn't look as like strong as Aurora's face, because I feel like it just suited Supernova's face so perfectly that it almost needed to be bigger.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I know what you mean. I would have put her in the blonde wig.
Have her stand out a bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think just to give it that little bit more of a push, let her friend feel the fantasy, because a part of me just felt like, yeah, I don't know, it didn't pop as much.
I guess, yeah.
Really great looks, like really great. We're splitting hairs here, right? Like it's top five. I just felt like overall, it was polite. It was presentable.
Yeah, and the back was messy.
Oh, the back was, yeah, the dog breakfast.
The back was just kind of folded up and like duct taped. Like,
that's why I was getting frustrated when they were like really going in on Buffy Nuff. I was like, okay,
well,
but
they
like,
went in on.
I know,
Aurora
but
as well.
I felt like they really grilled Neera to like emphasize why she would be put in the bottom.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. So then they have to say goodbye to everybody. Now, usually in a makeover challenge, the makeover person watches.
Mm-hmm.
And then they like say their final goodbyes and stuff after the elimination. But this one, they go, bye-bye. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye, you don't get to watch. Toodaloo. Go sit in limbo and find out if I was sent home or not, you know, in a few weeks.
Yeah.
Crazy. Wild. So ruthless. They get sent away. We find out that our bottom two are going to be Melinda and Neera.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree?
No.
Okay.
I don't. Honestly, for this challenge, Aurora, if you're listening, I love you. But in that moment in time, I thought overall, Aurora should have been in the bottom.
Aurora and?
Melinda. Sorry, that one fell.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I felt like I love Neera. Big Neera fan. Love Buffy. But I felt like it was like Neera was the bottom.
With who, though? Melinda as well? So you liked where it's at?
Yeah, I was okay with it. Yeah.
Like bottom three made sense to me. And then when they saved Aurora, I was like, they want her to go all the way to the end.
Well, see, my thing with Aurora is I felt like Aurora's was better than the other two.
I think she was saved on track record, if I'm going to be salty. Hot take.
That's fair. I did think she was better than the other two. That's just my... I love this. We're so spicy today. We're disagreeing because it's getting to the end.
I know.
We have to split the hairs.
Ugh. But overall, you know what? I feel bad for saying that Aurora should have been at the bottom, but it's only, I don't know, maybe because like, I think Buffy Nuff was such a challenge to make over. Like technically,
she had the hardest one.
Neera's canvas was like already locked and loaded. It's like, you almost have to do nothing and that will still look like a beautiful sister. Whereas like
locked
Buffy
and loaded.
That was locked and loaded.
Locked and loaded. For those of you, this is an audio podcast. Bicep one was called locked. Bicep two was called loaded.
Exactly. Patreon supporters, you're getting your money's worth.
Yeah.
So I think that's maybe part of what I'm feeling. It's because I was like, oh, it's like that felt like such a bigger task in some ways. But I'm not a judge.
Semi-qualified.
So, Aurora, I love you. Don't be mad.
Nori!
That's what she's going to do when she's listening to this. She'll go,
she's going to be like, get fucking wrecked, Cynthia Kiss.
Yeah.
And I'm defending your honor. So, but what we do find out is that Denim is our winner.
Which I...
Well-deserved.
Really was happy to see that.
Really well deserved. And also, like, it was a very good episode for Denim, too. It's Denim's first win. Mm-hmm. We got some beautiful storyline between Denim and her mom. Mm-hmm. And then the best transformation there. So, and all season long, we've really been seeing Denim kind of, like, try and get that win. And then Denim finally gets her win.
Mm-hmm.
Very happy. Congrats.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really hope they're okay. Yeah.
That ambulance?
Yeah.
Like, really does an ambulance driver, like, manually press that button?
I'm not sure.
Do you know?
I will ask. Actually, I have a paramedic friend. I will text them.
Can we ask? Because sometimes I swear they're just like having a little too much fun with the ambulance button. Like them right there, that was sassy.
Yeah. Like this is my
flair.
Ambulance button.
Yeah. Literally.
Yeah.
But no. I don't know what it is. It's just, I think because we sit silently
I really
after.
Like it. I really like it.
But yeah, no surprise. Denim absolutely killed that challenge.
Mm-hmm. So we get to our lip sync and it is for a trigger warning for Juicebox fans, a Carly Rae Jepsen song. I didn't just come here to dance. It's no, I really, really like you, but, you know, it's a good one.
I love this remix.
I love this remix. I'm going to say something controversial. Trevor, I know you're listening. If you put Tonight I'm Getting Over You by Carly Rae Jepsen as a lip sync song, I will be the happiest person in the world.
Aww.
It's my favorite, favorite Carly Rae Jepsen song. So I would absolutely love if that was a lip sync song, and hopefully they are not wearing gowns. But
I never thought I would see Melinda do a somersault in a gown.
Not just a somersault, but like a breakdancing backspin thing too, in a gown with no underwear on.
Barbie crotch.
Barbie crotch. This is what I'm saying. Wear underwear even in a gown, because you never know when you're going to have to get on your back and spin around like a breakdance and do a somersault.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Was she voguing? Was that official voguing at one point? Or was it kind of like...
Oh, I think it was like a... I think it was a soft nogue.
Okay.
It was a soft nogue.
That's what I thought too.
Or maybe it was whacking, maybe. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if we could call it voguing.
Right?
Yeah. It was fine. What did you think of the lip sync?
Annoyed that they both were in gowns, but at the same time, I thought Neera did a really great job absorbing the notes from the last week, where it was like, don't do the same thing, switch yes. it up. We got variety, we got stillness,
we got softness,
and then Melinda was giving it her absolute all, like nothing left in the tank. She was going to do everything she could.
There was moments where her full wig was in front of her face and she was still lip syncing and giving like tender moments. And I was like, work, Melinda.
Yeah.
Work,
neither of them had good wigs on to be lip syncing. That's one thing I clocked.
Yeah. Yeah. Neera's was very hard fronted and hard parted. And
Neera loved performing in a human unit. And this was like synthetic.
And this was synthetic. Yeah.
So it was, I could feel it like not moving the same way on her. And then, mm-hmm. Yeah, Melinda's was like, a balaclava.
Shut up. Balaclava. You're so annoying. Her says a balaclava. Oh my God. Anyways, but I felt like Neera kind of gave the song a little bit more of her like Neera flair. I'm always a big fan of Neera's lip syncing. And as sad as Twitter is going to be,
I know.
Unfortunately, we have to talk to our eliminated queen, who is not going to be giving us the goats for the rest of the season.
For the rest of this season, but like we have a new fan favorite.
Oh, huge. And 100%, I feel like she's going to be on an All Stars.
100%. I'm
shocked if she did not get in front of RuPaul at some point.
Literally.
Yeah, literally.
Literally. Right.
Should we give her a call?
Yes, but you have to run. So if there's anything you want to say to her, you need to tell me now, because I'm only talking to Melinda. You've got to bounce.
I've got to bounce, unfortunately. I will not be in the interview, but I will be there in spirit, and I will send a voice message for Miss
okay
Melinda.
You send a voice message, and mm-hmm. I'm gonna go hit her up right now. Let's see how Melinda's doing post elimination.
Now we pause for the big reveal.
We have such an icon on the podcast today. Her looks are Vivian Westwood inspired. She's a fellow Snatch Game winner, and if there is a workroom, you know she's storming off of it. Please welcome Melinda Verga.
Yeah!
Oh my goodness. Okay, off the jump, it's just me today because Juice is getting a BBL. So we can't wait for her giant fat booty. So it's just me on the podcast today, girly.
All right.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I am just so happy. I'm feeling electric. But at the same time, also relieved.
Yeah, a little bit of relief.
Yes, definitely that. Just watching everything now that has happened. I'm just, I couldn't be more grateful for such a dream journey that I've had on the show. So I'm just, you know.
Of course. Looking back at season 4, you have had such a journey on Drag Race. The minute we met you, we saw the Pride rainbow cat suit. It was, you know, all of the chat in the workroom. I feel like when I saw you walk out, I said to myself, I don't know how, but she's going to make her story. And you did that. I feel like you had the most iconic run on Canada's Drag Race.
And honestly, you know, it's not like I was even trying or going for that at all. I just want to make it to the end and then see where it takes me. You know what I mean? Like, people are talking about how iconic I was, or people call me mother. Like, this is all just really blowing my mind. And if it weren't for you girls sending me screenshots of like memes and tweets and all that stuff, like, I'd be oblivious to all of this, to all the commotion online. So for me, I think nothing was really planned. It was just kind of like everything was just happening, and I'm just doing my best to enjoy the experience. I wasn't always successful in enjoying the experience, but that was ultimately the goal, was just to have fun with it and just enjoy it. Because how many of us can say that you were on Drag Race?
Hey, there it is. It was Juice a couple weeks ago. She did tweet. She kind of clocked you. She was like, Melinda Verga has no idea the amount of memes and tweets and videos about you. Were you truly oblivious? Delulu?
Okay, so listen, hear me out. I was at Nira's 2 weeks ago, no, two, 3 weeks ago for episode 6, the Slayoffs. Yes, mm-hmm. The Slayoffs. And I stayed at her house, and I'm just on her couch petting her dog, just like cuddling Prince. Prince is their dog. I'm just cuddling Prince, and she's like, Melinda, oh, you gotta see this. You gotta see what's going on. And I'm just like, what now? She's like, you got to see this. And she would just keep sending me stuff. And the girls on the group chat as well of my season would just keep sending me stuff as well. And I'm just like, what the hell is going on? Like, I'm really just freaking dead when I just started to read things. I'm just like, what is going on? Apparently with some big thing online.
I said it on the podcast. I was like, after the design challenge, when, you know, we'll get into it, your moment in the workroom, a star was born. I think we go feral for that classic reality TV drama. And hearing your brain, the way that you didn't, you know, you just were living authentically. You were living in the present moment. We crave that as an audience, and you served it on a platter. I have to ask, was there any point during your meltdown that you thought, okay, let's make really good TV? Like, did you turn on any kind of producer part of your brain?
No. And see, that's the thing. I blocked it out.
You just saw red.
Blacked out, and the mouth just took over. Okay. Really and truly is what happened. Like, and obviously, you know, just like a lot of humans, you don't just kind of pop off. Like, you just, there was a lot of build up. And we're talking about months, you know, from my partner going through what he went through.
Well, exactly. For
me, and then me doubting if I should even go, to getting there. And it was a rough time getting there because I didn't know what to expect and how to prepare. Mm-hmm. No one in Edmonton could help me really fully emotionally and mentally prepare for what's about to happen. I'm the first one to then getting on, and then my efforts weren't paying off. Like the rainbow outfit, which I thought was just a visual assault of happiness. Mm-mm, no, ma'am, that didn't. No, mm-mm, no. That didn't fly. To the stop. You're struggling there. Like, you're really like, she's the little girl.
We love it though. This is why we love you. Never stop being. Never stop being you.
And then to the point of the girl group challenge, where I was team captain / choreographer / kind of shrink to the rest of my team, because I needed to make sure that mentally they were all feeling good, feeling happy, and feeling confident about the challenge. So I was really watching for cues everywhere and trying to lift as many of them up as I could. And then to see three of them on the bottom, then one of them go home. And I felt really close to the girlfriend at that time. Like, I really felt a connection with her. And then to see her leave, I don't know if you noticed or if you want to go back and replay, but if you watch me in the back there while Kitten and girlfriend were lip syncing, my body language was just, I just collapsed. Like, I felt pathetic. So that was all a build up then leading up to episode 4, which is the design challenge, the meltdown episode. Because of that episode as well, I'd also helped several of the queens with their with their looks. So that none of that paid off. So I felt like, well, what the fuck is the point of being here? And then that just quickly... Spiralina!
Spiraled noodles! It was so fascinating to watch because there was a point where I felt like you had kind of calmed down on the couch and then Venus kind of hopped in and was like, but girl, you can never say that again.
Oh, yes.
And then Melinda was back to blackout. Like it was another Britney Spears album. You just were like, let's go.
I'm just like, they're just not done yet? And that's what I'm just like... Because I thought we already, like, done passed through this, bitch. And then that's when I'm just like, oh, girl, I got up and, like... And then the thing is, watching it...
Yeah.
There was a point I went back in and I felt like, oh, my gosh, she's going to punch a bitch.
Yeah. No, totally.
I looked like I was going to punch a bitch. Upset. I was like, whoa.
You look super upset.
Right? I was, even myself, I was like, whoa. I'm like, she's going to punch a bitch.
And did you, I can't remember, did you have contacts in, like eye contacts in?
The whole fucking time. I was like, why was I like, really? Wear that shit?
The blue is so scary. I was like, oh, ah.
White Whopper, realness. Okay.
Now tell me if we're getting into NDA territory. I'm just naughty. What did the production team say to you when you stormed off set? Were they like, Melinda, you have to go back in?
Oh, I can't say that.
We can't talk about it. See, she's a professional queen. This is what we love about Melinda.
Look, only because as well, what I want to keep the magic of television going.
If anyone ever storms off a set again, it's no longer called storming off set. It's called a Melinda Verga. It's the best.
The Melinda moment.
Truly. Now, you mentioned you were the first queen on Canada's Drag Race from Edmonton. How did that feel? That must be such a badge of honor, but also super scary because you have no one to kind of pick their brain locally.
Correct. The pressure was intense, but also again the pride and the honor of being that flag bearer. You know what I mean? So that was all there. But what I really would have appreciated, I'm not going to lie to you, is the little bit of a just so you know. You know what I mean?
Totally.
Again, not navigating that NDA and whatnot. Like, I'm not here to like tell people this is what you should expect from production. No.
Yeah.
But like to just tell somebody that, girl, you probably should save at least so much money. Like that was the number one thing because that's, and I'm gonna say that passionately because that's a very, 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 very real that we all have to deal with.
Totally. I experienced the same thing. It's kind of like you're investing in yourself. You're investing in your package. And there is a little bit of a return on that sometimes when the fans just gobble up the looks. I mean, they expect that level of sparkle. Look at you today. Like, now you're spending money. You look fabulous.
No, I'm not spending money. She's making a lot of money.
She's making a little coin. She's making a little money.
But listen, I mean, going on and being on and then after that, those are all financial realities that you will have to deal with, not just in terms of putting money towards your looks, but paying your bills. And then you were gone, not working per se, like for however long we are out there filming. And then you got to deal with the potential repercussions of that. That's a lot of stress and a lot of pressure to deal with financially, let alone the physical, mental, and emotional toll that filming a reality TV show, a competition, could take on someone. So y'all gotta, if y'all are listening right now and you want to be on this show, y'all better be prepared financially as well, because that's a very, very, very real situation you're going to have to deal with.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and then sometimes it's like, just, it takes a village. Ask, you know, friends and family.
That's that part,
right? Because it's worth it. But I think you should be very proud of yourself. And part of that rawness, that realness, we fell in love with Melinda. You know, who knows? Maybe had you had that little bit of advice, we would have seen a completely different version of you. So I really appreciate you coming as you were, rainbow cat suit and all. It's kind of amazing.
And that is gonna, listen, I'm gonna be in Vancouver next week.
I'm so excited.
It just might make an appearance.
Oh my God, can I try it on? I want to do a photo shoot. I want to do a photo shoot in that. And then you get in it and then you pose and we can like superimpose us together. So we're both wearing the Vivian Westwood inspiration.
Ooh. Inspiration with gratitude.
Gratitude. Okay. And I also mentioned in your intro, you won the snatch game. I won yes. my snatch game.
Yes.
We're snatch game winners. 50% yes. of Canadian snatch game winners are on this call currently. How iconic.
Iconic it is. You know, I was never considered a funny queen in Edmonton because that's just not something that I would normally do. I can be funny with really? My friends. I can be funny with my friends. I'm funny as Mike, and I've hosted shows before as Mike, so meaning okay. my guy side.
Drag.
Correct. So that's not something that I felt like, oh my God, this is what I'm going to bring to the table. This is going to be my strength. No, that's something that I've had to discover throughout the years, actually, of trying to be on the show. And then being on the show, being prepared, helped me feel more confident. And in turn, mm-hmm. just have fun with it. You have fun totally. With something when you feel confident yeah. because you're prepared, because you've done your work, you put in the work. And so the rest was magic. Because, yes, you can put in all the elements there. You could have this brilliant plan in your head. But when when you don't allow yourself to just let go and let your mouth take you, maybe that's both my curse and my gift then, is when I let my mouth just take charge.
Totally. I was just going to say.
That's what happens. And the week after, here we are, winning Snatch Game, all because I just allowed myself to just let go and have fun with the process. I guess that was the difference. I didn't have fun the week before, but the week after I had fun, so we had different results.
You gotta have fun. I really, you know, just hearing you talk, I feel like you commit to the bit. Like whatever the bit is, you in your heart, whether it's like your feelings yeah. in the workroom or your character choice in the snatch yeah. game, Melinda Verga is always 100% committed to the bit.
Listen, I'm a Scorpio. I'm an all or nothing kind of I'm an all or nothing there kind of person. There you know what I mean? Is. Like if you're gonna go downhill, if you're gonna go spiraling, that bitch, you better fucking like head down. Like
you're gonna go nosedive.
230 kilometers television. An hour. Exactly, 100%. I'm like, okay, I guess we're here now. I guess this is happening now. Okay, bitch, like I guess let's go flip a motherfucking table.
It was well, listen. You should be so proud of yourself. I want you to run with this viral moment in time because people are yep. obsessed with Melinda. I saw you dropped the merch. Everyone go buy your Vivian Westwood inspired tote bags, t-shirts.
With gratitude.
And feel
your goats in my merch, y'all.
You heard it first right here on Semi-Qualified Queens. Melinda Verga, I love you so much. Thank you for making season 4 of Canada's Drag Race quite possibly the most iconic yet. You should know you really did that. So thank you for coming on the podcast. And we have to do a full sit-down interview with Juice. You got to come back on the podcast. Promise me.
You know where to get me. I will see you very, very soon, Cynthia.
Oh, I love you, Melinda. Mwah.
Have a good rest of the day.
And that was Melinda Verga. It's just me again because Juice is still getting her fat, juicy BBL surgery. I hope she doesn't mind me mentioning that on the podcast. You know, I have to wonder, she said she's doing it for the podcast. She's getting her BBL for the podcast. And I keep telling her that it's an audio program. No one's going to see the juicy beauty. And she's like, girl, I got to do it. We're doing it for the streams. So that's our girl Juice. We love her. If you want to follow Semi-Qualified Queens on Instagram, please do. We're announcing lots of tour dates. That's where you catch all information, like special guests that we're having on the road. Semi-Qualified Queens Live, climb that link tree. It's all good stuff happening at Semi-Qualified Queens Pod. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can do so at SQQPOD using the hashtag Semi-Qualified Questions. If you want to catch our attention, send us an email at semiqualifiedqueenspod@gmail.com. Or if you want to record a voice note, which is literally our favorite, you can go to www.speakpipe.com/SQQPOD. That's it for me, folks. See you next week. Mwah.
podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.
Sonar.
There.